This is WPTF Radio, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I'm Reese Edwards.
Hello, everybody. Atlantic Coast Conference Tournament basketball is on the air. This is Wally Ausley.
This is Bill Jackson speaking.
Hello, everybody. Welcome now to Sportsline. Gary Dornberg with you.
I'm Tony Rixby, WPTF News.
Hello, this is Charles Kuralt, CBS News, WPTF in Raleigh.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Carolina Newsmakers. I'm Don Curtis.
Hello, friends. This is Bill Friday, WPTF in Raleigh.
I'm Rufus Anderson on the Weekend Gardener.
Now, here is your moderator, Tom Kemp.
Thanks for watching this week's NC Spin.
Now, here is Hank Kaiser.
Hi-yo. Well, that's good.
This is Art Devine.
This is Robert St. John in the NBC Newsroom in New York.
The Monitor edition of News of the World.
Debnam views the news. And now, here is Mr. Debnam.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Yours truly, Sam Beard,
and Jim Reed,
and Carl Gert.
Thank you, Sam, and greetings to all of our listeners.
This is Harriet Presley, WPTF in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Wayne Ed is standing by now with a check of the latest news.
WPTF News presents Regional Report, a digest of late happenings throughout the area.
This is Bill Ellis.
This is Jimmy Katz. The Nocturne we send as our best.
This is Bill Hope.
This is Warren Barfield with Kingdom Scott at the organ and a program of familiar carols.
Good morning, this is Phil Franklin.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
And this is J.C. Knowles with the North Carolina Collection on WPTF.
I'm Mike Blackman, WPTF News.
Good evening, I'm David Sherrill.
This is Robert Hager, WPTF News.
This is Bob Farrington.
Good morning, everybody. Charlie Gaddy here with Ask Your Neighbor.
Mario Dale here.
Fess Parker, our guest this morning here at News Talk 680.
Well, Jack Boston, that was a great introduction.
Hey, everyone, great to have you with us. This is North Carolina's Morning News. I'm Brian Freeman on WPTF.
Hello, I'm your friend Bart Rittner.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the Bob Butler Show, and this is Ned Champion reporting.
And here is Carl Venters. WPTF is the voice that shares with its neighbors what it's like to be living the life of Raleigh.
This is Donna Mason on 680 WPTF.
And I'm Dick Stork in the WPTF Record Vault. Good morning to you.
Tom Kearney here.
Johnny Hood on the Southern Farm Network.
Well, howdy, everybody. I'm Hap Hansen.
I'm Marlon Bowling reporting.
This is Charles Osgood wishing Mike Raley and Ann Clapp congratulations on the anniversary of WPTF's Weekend Gardener program.
I'm Mike Raley, the Weekend Gardener. Welcome in, everybody.
I'm Ann Clapp.
And this is a Tar Heel Gardener saying, keep them growing.
Well, we're back on WPTF at 10:09. Mike Raley here, along with Amanda Bratcher, who is an extension agent in Lee County. Melissa and I are heading south today, by the way.
Oh,
and we're
going to
stop at Yarborough's and eat lunch. So I am going to bust a gut to get out of this this building, and we will go and do that. I promise I won't drive fast, though, because it's not going to do that. And Gerald Adams, who is my buddy and longtime co-host on this show, one of the co-hosts who's been on a long time and invited us to the governor's mansion to do the show back during the Purdue administration. And we had such a good time. That was our first outing to the governor's mansion to do the program. We did it during Governor Cooper's, that's the way we say it down in Nash County. That's the way the governor said it too, Cooper, not Cooper. But at any rate, we've been there a couple
times. We're invited back, Mike, because I was over there the other day, and the English-speaking gentleman said, just let us know.
All right. Well, I'm gonna try. He's hard to get in touch with. He gets so many emails. Of course, mine may be going to the garbage can. I don't know, but I will try and do that because I would love to do that again. No matter who is governor, we love going to that setting and walking around. And Gerald gave us such a nice tour when we were there in, I don't know, was that like 2012 or something?
The 25th anniversary show? Was that there? Or what? It was some anniversary show.
It could have been. It could have been.
So it would have been 15 years ago.
Yeah. So that would have been right, like 2010.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was the 25th. And then in 15, we had the 30th. And
yeah, I'd love to. I haven't been since I was a student.
Sir, what did you say, sir?
I said, that's when Kristen, I asked her, I said, I can't get a longleaf pine to grow. She said, plant more than one.
Right. Yeah, there are longleaf pines growing in the front, kind of the southwest side of there, just off of that porch. What's that porch called that we were sitting on? Is there a name for the porch? I know there's a garden outside of there.
Well,
is it the Dottie Martin Garden?
It was originally.
Yeah.
When she was one of the first ladies to raise some private money to do something, and that Southern Garden or Victorian Garden, she basically wanted to have an outside room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So that's when there was a big tall hedgerow around it. And, during my tenure there, I don't know how many parties and meetings, had tables set up out there, the whole thing.
So. Well, it's a magnificent old building, and the grounds are so interesting. As I mentioned early in the show, we were talking about figs. I have a cutting of a fig. There's no telling how many people have cuttings from that big old fig tree.
You had to prune it some every year because it grew out through the fence onto the sidewalk down Person Street.
Goodness.
And I was cutting them and throwing them away for years, and I got to thinking, well, stupid, you might as well root some of these because you had to do some pruning to it because of that every year. And then the various governors liked giving them away, and of course Gerald liked giving them away.
Sure.
So from then on, pretty much all the cuttings I took when I was doing a little shaping to it, but to keep it from sticking through the fence, I said, well, let's just give them to people.
Yeah.
Well, I have
brown turkey, Gerald.
Yeah, brown turkey.
Yes, it is. I have one, as I said.
I hate to get back to this, but I've got to ask Gerald another tomato question.
Are you hungry or something?
Yeah, both on the Gladys, Cousin Gladys, and the Rufus tomato. I had my first gathering, and now I put rebars, 8-foot rebars to climb up on. Well, they've grown above that and got blooms above that.
Yeah. Just let them fall all over and do whatever they want to.
Nothing else to do. Will those upper tender leaves hold my tomatoes?
Oh, yeah. It may be that the limbs will fall back down, but it doesn't matter. They'll still make. I draw the line at 8 foot. Once they get above 8 foot, just let them go wherever they want to, and they'll still fruit for you.
Well, Rufus, one of our good friends, one of my best friends, both of you are, Tom Campbell is with us. And Brother Tom, I know you have a question or maybe a slew of them about tomatoes.
Well, actually, not so much about tomatoes. I bring you greetings from Pamlico County.
Oh, okay. Lord. Well, good. I'm glad y'all are down there enjoying yourselves.
Where are you in Pamlico? Well,
on the river.
Right on
which
the
one?
River.
Okay.
Right near Camp Donnelly and Camp Seagull.
Yeah. Nice.
It's Minnesota.
We've had over 4 inches of rain here in the last 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
That's wonderful.
Oh, wow. Well, that's making up some of that drought down there.
Yeah. I had two things to ask about. Well, first of all, you're talking about figs earlier. My fig bushes this year had more young figs on them than you've ever seen in your life. And, of course, we have not been able to get down here as frequently as we like. But when we came down this week, you know, we always put up figs and pears every year and preserves.
Right.
I couldn't get enough figs to make a mess. I don't know what's happened to them.
Mm.
I think some of it is some very kind neighbors of mine.
It just can't resist.
Well, I have a policy that I will not fight yellow jackets for figs.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, so, I don't blame you.
The combination of that. Anyway, the reason I'm calling is I've got something called Japanese honeysuckle.
Mm.
It is a wild vine, and this thing is multiplying faster than bunny rabbits. I mean, It is crazy. Is there any kind of chemical that you could put on them to kill them without killing the bushes and, and flowers?
You'd have to paint. You'd have to paint it. I guess cut it and paint the at the base, Tom.
Well, that means you got to get down on the ground. And I mean, these things are so plentiful.
Yeah.
I'd spend the rest of the day. I'd have to pack a lunch.
I understand. Vines are terrible this year.
So, Tom, one thing I've recommended to folks is go down to the hardware store, get you some long elbow-length gloves, and get you some brush killer, which the active ingredient in that is triclopyr, whatever you want to call it. And if you can mix some glyphosate in there, too, that's pretty good. But you're going to take that chemical, you're going to put a little bit on your gloves like you're putting lotion on, and you're just going to go out there and you're going to pet the leaves of the Japanese honeysuckle and get a
roots.
That triclopyr will get into the plant, the glyphosate will get into the plant, and that way you don't have to cut it down. Now, it would definitely be much more effective to get down on your hands and knees and cut it at the base and paint the base, but if you're if you got a little bit over here and a little bit over here and it's all up in a mess and everything, that's just another strategy you can use.
Triclopyr.
Mm-hmm. And if you go
to
the...
How do you spell that?
T-R-I-C-L-O-Y-R. Clo-L-O-Y-R.
You just ask them for brush killer.
Yep.
Yeah, and then check the label. Now, are those you're talking about rubber gloves that go up over your arm? I didn't know they were for sale. I've seen the rose gloves.
Mm-hmm. You want chemical resistant gloves, so like cleaning gloves.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Sopranos would have used.
These 80-year-old knees don't do real well.
Yeah.
On the ground anymore.
That's right, so, Tom. Before you go any further, you had a birthday. Was it last week?
Yes, it was last Sunday, as a matter of fact.
Well, happy birthday.
Well, I think we ought to sing happy birthday to Tom.
No. We did that with Rufus, and it was terrible.
Okay, all right, well.
I never heard so many people off. We will never be the Mormon Nabert Quackle Choir.
All right. Oh. Happy to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tom. Happy birthday to you. Well, Joel didn't follow directions. He just
that's good, Joe.
Pushes into it.
The only thing I can say about that is that y'all all finished at the same time.
Yeah, there was a little precision. Tom, hold on. We'll be back. We got to take a break with more of the Weekend Gardener and Sing Fest here on the WPTF. We're back on WPTF, and Tom, I found out that Gerald had to sing at his wedding. And
my wife talked me into it.
Are they still together?
Yes, 43 and a half years.
And she was a voice major in college. Why in the world did she let you? There must have been a lot of something consumed.
I don't know
how many drinks did it take you to sing?
I don't think any, but I was way more nervous about that than the getting married part.
Golly, I would never have done that. I was so shook up on my wedding day as it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, guys, I know you got Monica, you got the news, everything.
Monica's coming up after the news.
I know. Okay. Just wanted to tell you that I was thinking about, and I wanted to find out about this Japanese honeysuckle. I will go buy whatever that bush killer stuff is and report back.
Please do.
Brush killer. Yep.
And read the label. Read the label.
So how are your tomatoes, Tom?
Dying. This hot weather has just really done a number on them. They're not producing much. They're not doing as well. Now, the ones that we've got down here in the garden seem to be doing better, even though it has been drier down here in Pamlico County than it was in Raleigh.
Mm.
I think there's a big difference. I don't have the room to be able to plant them in the ground, But I think there's a huge difference between container planting and planting in the ground. Gerald will know more about that.
Yeah.
And I want you to sing the answer to me about that, Gerald.
She will.
I'm not going to do that, Tom. I grow everything in containers for me because it's easy if I have disease issues to completely replace the dirt, sanitize the container, and go again next year. So that's the biggest reason I grow in containers instead of in the ground. You grow in the ground, you get some of the diseases, the ones that don't go away and come back every year. For me, I'm having to have results because I have to save the seed to be able to have plants the following year or somewhere in the future. So that's...
Are yours slowing down?
Oh, yeah. The heat puts the... just most of your varieties, except for a few hybrids, you have prolonged 90-some degree weather. The pollen dries up in the bloom before it can fruit or pollinate. So everything looks good.
Well, I got
good.
The bottom branches are just dying. The upper branches seem to be, like you were talking about with the 8-foot, they're going like crazy, and they're blooming.
You probably got septoria leaf spot. It starts at the bottom, works its way up the plant. It's always better if you can clip those branches off, but if not, the top will go. This week, they should get back into action because they just showed the seven-day forecast, and it was all in the 80s. They'll love that. Those blooms will be able to fruit, and you'll have something to look forward to in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, the tomatoes down here, believe it or not, without a lot of rain, because they're in the ground, have done quite a bit better, even though the heat has slowed them down also. We got growing like crazy down here is Crowder peas.
Yeah, what happened is when you have more rain, that brings you have more fungal diseases. It just kind of go hand in hand with the hot, humid nights we have. So I would much prefer to have dry weather and water them myself, then have all this rain that you can't do anything about. And that in June really was was not a good sign for your long-term outcome for the tomatoes.
Well, they're slowing down. All right.
Well, wait a minute. Rufus, would you like to say something to Tom?
I'll need a hello and hello to Liv.
Well, thank you, sir. And back at you. Enjoy listening. Well, y'all have a good day.
Call us more often,
Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
And I'll try to find some Saturday this fall to take off just so you can do the show because you do
Please
a better
do.
Job than I do.
No, I don't.
Yeah,
but
do.
I enjoy it.
Well, all right. I'll do that then. All right,
all
buddy.
Right.
You take care. Our best to live.
All right.
Bye bye. All right. Now we're going to get to Herb right after the news, and we'll talk to Miss Monica and find out everything that's going on at the State Farmers Market without Gerald there. Because Gerald's there.
I don't know how they survive.
I don't either. I don't either. But at any rate, and of course, Amanda will be with us for the last half hour. What tomato is that?
That's a Rufus tomato.
That's the Rufus
mutation. One of my friends sent in a picture of fruit from this summer.
It's really pretty. It's
pretty.
A bright orange.
With a little bit of red in it.
It looks kind of splotchy. It's got splotchy skin.
Well, Herb has got a Rufus tomato, too.
Yeah, we'll get a report from... Oh, that looks good. Yeah, that's Herb's. Yeah.
Y'all make me hungry.
On the bun. All right, we'll talk to Herb coming up, then Monica of the Weekend Gardener. Okay, we're back at 10:34 with the Weekend Gardener. You know, that's golly, it's been tough this summer on us, on the plants, especially when we got into July. That's when it really hit. But figure how your car feels. It depends on you, and you need to go to someone you trust to take care of all the problems that you may encounter, and even the best of cars do that. But Dean Bailey told me a long time ago, proactive. Make sure you get things taken care of with maintenance so you don't blow up your engine or lose your air conditioning system or blow tires or lose brakes. You don't want to do any of that. So you can maintain a car by taking it to King's Auto Service. And they have been in business since 1946, and it just gets better and better at King's Auto Service, and they can take care of any problem that you have for any season, whether it's getting all that pollen out of the filters and every place else, changing those filters. That's just one small thing that you should be doing. They'll check everything, too, like the wiper blades. They'll check your brakes. They'll check the tires. They will check the hoses. And who knows? Unless you know about cars, you can't figure out about the hoses on a car unless they have a leak or something. And you don't want to get to that point. But the belts, you don't always know if they're going to break unless you have an expert check them. So anything with your car, make sure that you take it to King's Auto Service. And they have a lot of hybrids out there, a lot of hybrid vehicles, and they have certified hybrid technicians at King's that are ready to diagnose any available option that you might have for those high-voltage battery packs, which can be very expensive to replace. And you will at some point have to replace them, but you can call King's to schedule a courtesy battery analysis, and you can get that 12-volt battery check, too. And they can probably work a deal on the big battery for you that your dealer might not be able to handle. So King's Auto Service, easy to find at 1039 North West Street in downtown Raleigh, and at kingautomotive.net. So, Professor Herb, how are you, sir? Gerald has just showed me a picture. You apparently sent the same photo of sitting on the bun in mayonnaise. Slathered in mayonnaise, that Rufus tomato slice.
Good morning, Mike, Rufus, Gerald, and Amanda. Hope all is well.
Yes,
good
sir. Morning.
Yes, ask Mike, before I left Durham, because my lot is covered with trees and everything, roots everywhere, everything I grow is in a container.
Right.
From my orange and lemon trees and bananas and whatever. And so before I left yesterday, I watered everything. I just watered everything. And, of course, when I got here, my wife said, oh, there's a thunderstorm, and it's raining and raining and raining. So for everybody who wants to get some rain, just go out and water the flowers, and you'll get it. But, Mike, everybody's talking about tomatoes this morning, and I love tomatoes. Well, but I'm excited because for the first time, I have been able to get my Joe Pye weed to survive, and they're beginning to bloom nicely. So fall can't be that far away in the middle of summer.
What problems were you having with it, Herb?
Just transplanting them.
Oh, okay.
Just transplanting.
I love Joe Pye weed.
Me too.
And it's native.
Anyway, and also some of the native daisies. At least down here, they're beginning to bloom. So
great.
I'm excited about that. The figs are still green. So I suppose I'm like a lot of people waiting for and the birds, they're waiting as well.
So are you talking about at your house in Durham or down at your mama's house in Janesville?
Down here in Janesville, yeah.
Oh.
The figs are green, quite green.
Does she have brown turkey or some other?
Yeah, it's brown turkey.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, they're still quite green and the birds have taken care of the blueberries, so yeah. I don't have to worry about that. Yeah, in fact, I'm looking right now, and there are a couple of birds looking at my aunt's fig bush. So I guess it may be, oh yeah,
they'll let you know when they're ripe.
Yeah, they will.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, I have to leave you all because I have to beat the birds out to these two guys.
Good luck.
Well, Herb, thank you very much for calling. We always love hearing from you.
All right.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For the picture, Herb.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Yeah. It was a great picture. All right. Coming up, Ms. Monica from the State Farmers Market in Raleigh on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. We're back on WPTF. Sweet Miss Monica is with us. And Monica, I saw a post about your dad, remembering your dad. But I love the pictures of you, too. You are a beautiful bride. My goodness. That's not a surprise, but wow. So,
quite a few years ago.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of good people in Johnston County, and one of them was your daddy and mama and daddy. So,
yes.
But I loved all the photos there. That was nice.
Yeah, probably one of my favorite ones is the one when I was a very small baby sitting on the potato box
Potato box. Everybody ought to sit on a potato box.
With my daddy, I started young out in the field.
Yeah, of course. I bet you did. Yeah, absolutely. So,
yes.
How's everything? Y'all got a little rain out there this morning, but I'm sure it's not keeping people away.
No, it's a beautiful day. It's, of course, overcast, and there might be a sprinkle here and there, but it feels so good out here today. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the folks are coming out and taking all that in and getting a break from the summertime heat. It's quite a pleasure to be out walking around out here today. So come on out. Looking like a good day here at the market.
So let's start in the farmer's areas, farmer sheds. The peaches, I'm sure, are still there. Let's start with the peaches.
We have got a great selection of peaches coming in. If you like to can or freeze, I would say now is a good time to get those peaches to do so. We've also seen a few nectarines coming in and plums, that sort of thing.
Hmm.
Blueberries are still hanging in there. A few blackberries. Those are starting to come to the end of their season, though. So be sure to get those while you can. Figs. I've been hearing you guys talking about figs this morning, and we have been seeing a few of those popping in here and there. They're one of those things that are not very plentiful usually at the market, but some of our vendors do have them occasionally. So if you're looking those, you may check in with some of the folks. I know I saw a couple of the peach growers that had some figs some this week.
What are the varieties of peaches this week that you've seen?
Of the peaches?
Yeah.
You know, I should have known you would ask me that. I'll have to get that.
Well, that's all right. That's okay, because it changes. Mm-hmm. It changes every week.
It changes almost daily, to be
really?
Honest. And sometimes it does, especially with some of our growers, just depending on where they're at in the state, as far as the varieties they have. Like we have one orchard that is in the mountains, and then we've got some more in the sand hills and a couple in a different other places. So just depends on where they are, sort of with their varieties. But of course, freestones are coming in now, and I've not really had a bad peach. Everyone I've had has been very good, but I know everybody has their favorite variety.
That's the truth.
And I have seen a few white peaches coming in as well as some white nectarines I saw the other day. So those are really good as well.
White nectarines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the white peaches have a distinctively different flavor.
Yeah.
So what about the nectarines?
They do, too. Uh-huh. They're really good. And I love the nectarine. I know I hear, I think it's Rufus talking about eating the peach fuzz. Is he the one that likes to eat the peach with the fuzz?
Yeah. Rufus, are you still with us?
Oh, yes. Yes.
And
now, Monica, I got some donut peaches from my friend Cindy, from Taylorsville.
Yes.
And I don't know what brand they are, but that'd be better for a person like Mike. It'd be hard for him to peel those donut peaches because he's a scaredy cat of the peach.
I just tickles my lips.
Yes, and that's one reason I like nectarines, because you can just grab it, wash it, and eat it, and it's pretty much got your peach flavor, but you just don't have to deal with the fuzz if you're wanting to eat it right then.
I think most people are in my camp, Rufus, with this deal.
That'd be a good thing to do at the market, Monica. Where's your vote? Fuzz or no fuzz?
That's right. Oh, me. Definitely.
I
bet Gerald eats the peach like I do. Like you eat an apple. Pick it up, wash it, and eat it.
Is that what you do,
Jim? No, I peel it.
he called us
battle.
A sissy.
Oh, I have to cut mine, but I'll eat the peel. But I have to cut them and eat it from the inside. But I don't mind the fuzz too much on most varieties.
Yeah. Well, if you're hungry enough, you'll eat the peeling, too. There are probably some nutrients, just like potatoes and stuff. You eat the potato skins. There's some nutrients there, they say.
Sure.
So
it's all fiber.
And Rufus loves his peaches, don't you, Rufus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amanda, that is your very scientific survey.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Not at all.
I suppose. So you were about, before I interrupted you, you were about to mention something else I like a lot, butter beans and peas.
Yes, butter beans and peas. They are here, and you can get them shelled. Most people like to go ahead and take all the fun out of it and get them already shelled nowadays, so you can find those. Different varieties of peas we've been seeing are Dixie Lee's, some of the Pink Eye Purple Hulls, and a few 6 weeks mixed in here and there. Also seeing some White Acres. We've been seeing the butter beans, of course, and the speckled butter beans are something else that we get in addition to the regular green butter
beans. Do they taste different than the regular
butter? To me, they do.
Uh-huh.
To me, they're, I don't really know how to explain it. Maybe a little bit. It reminds me more of like a dried bean to me whenever I...
Well, maybe you need to up the amount of fat back that you put in, in there. With, that would take care of it.
Yes. A lot of people love them, though. They're really good. And they're pretty. That's the big thing. They're purple. If you've never seen them, they're purple speckled and really unique. And we have sweet corn, and we have different varieties of that. We have some of the bicolor. We have... just the white sweet corn, different varieties, and we have tomatoes galore. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to can tomatoes, again, now is the time to do so. And you can find your regular just red slicing tomatoes, but we also have a great selection of heirlooms such as Cherokee Purple, your German Johnson, and many others, as well as many different heirloom cherry tomatoes. Gracious, there's so many different varieties of cherry tomatoes down there. And peppers from the sweetest to the hottest. Now is the time to come out to get those. If you like making hot sauce or maybe a favorite salsa recipe, you can get the peppers you need to do that. Or maybe you just like to do stuffed bell peppers. You can find those bell peppers of all different colors available now.
And Gerald sells a lot of those plants when he's out there in the spring, too.
I hope I did.
Yeah. I'm sure you did. But a lot of you're really getting into the pepper business now, too.
I had over 100 varieties of peppers last year. Wow. Peppers, that's what I'm writing my article about for the Weekend Garden.
Just unbelievable. Yeah, that a lot of Rufus, I know you love all kinds of hot peppers.
I can share crop with Linda's judge brother. He makes the knockoff Tabasco sauce. So, Monica, I'm going to be out probably this afternoon. Not now, because I'm...
No, you're in Asheville.
It'd be hard to get there.
Yeah, but at least Sunday afternoon. And see if there are any Tabasco peppers ready, because mine never get ripe enough before. Now, Gerald's told me to put them out early, get them going, but I rarely get mine to ripen before it frosts on them. My Tabasco peppers.
Okay.
Rufus, I saw a ton of hot peppers down at Ronnie Moore's spot yesterday. Check him out. I'll be shocked if he don't have some.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. They have tons of varieties of peppers. They definitely do, and it's really neat to watch people down there checking all of them out. It's a fun thing. I was taking some pictures of the peppers last week, and they just make a beautiful, beautiful photo because of all the colors and shapes and varieties.
Well, I bet unlike the peach people who hand out little pieces of peach samples, I bet that the pepper people do not.
Yeah, you don't even want to touch those things.
Yeah.
Some of them are so hot, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But
dangerous.
But yeah.
Dangerously hot.
Yes, some of them are, definitely. Mm-hmm. And so,
My mother was growing some peppers out in in a bed in the front yard one time, and I started messing with them. I was a little boy, and I got some in my eye, and I set a world record for the 100-yard dash. I must have run around my house about 10 times. That hurt.
Yeah, that capsaicin in your eyes.
Yeah, I'm lucky that
worst.
I can see today.
Yeah, it can be very dangerous.
Yeah, so
but
yeah.
For some people, it's real tasty too.
So we,
I did have one shout out. So Monica, I know in on August 22nd, y'all are helping the North Carolina Pollinator Conservation Alliance.
Oh yeah,
host the North Carolina Pollinator Field Day out there.
Thanks for bringing that up.
The State Farmers Market. We'll be out there from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I said we because I'm a part of that group and. And we'll be out there with a lot of different entomologists, gardeners, Cooperative Extension, Duke Gardens, and we'll be hosting a great Southeast Pollinator Census Count event at that day as well. And we just really are very appreciative of the State Farmers Market for giving us the space out there to come out there and have a space for the community to come out and learn about pollinators and pollinator gardening. And we'll have activities for kids of all ages and folks who are interested in insects and gardening for pollinators. And I heard a rumor that Duke Gardens is bringing some plants to give away.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow. And what's the date again?
That is August 22nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Very nice.
And we're really encouraging folks to count during the Great Southeast Pollinator Census on the 22nd and the 23rd.
Where can they find information about how to count?
So if you go to the Extension Gardener website, you can find the Great Southeast Pollinator Census in North Carolina page. And there is everything you would ever need to know about the Great Southeast Pollinator Census at that website, including how to count. And if you don't want to count alone, we've got more than 50 events across the state where you can go count with a local group, or you can find a local pollinator garden to go count in.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. So, Ms. Yeah. Monica, up in the market shops, everything smells good today.
Oh, it does. And we have all kinds of breads and cakes and pies. We have preserves, jams, jellies, barbecue sauces, ice cream, lemonade, orangeade, fresh seafood, meats, cheeses, and so much more. 3-2-1 coffee, and of course, the Rufus dog. I know I didn't name it all, but there's a lot of great things in the market shop. You always got to check it out and see what you might find.
I wonder if you can get an equivalent to a Rufus dog in Asheville, Rufus. Have you gotten fat legged?
It'll be about lunchtime, and I don't know whether they've tried or not. Yeah. Now, somebody tried to talk to me the other day about a plant-based hot dog. Mm. I cannot fathom that. I just cannot get that in my mind. No, it would be hard to compete
against that bright leaf hot dog.
I think it definitely would.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you have two other fine restaurants. I took advantage of one yesterday at the Farmer's Market. I had a colonoscopy yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was a delight. I mean, the prep's no fun. The prep's no fun, but it's something you have to do. I mean, if you want to live, you know, you just never know unless it's such an easy way to prevent a type of cancer. And so you do that, and I was treated like royalty by all the nurses and the physician. I got a nice 30-minute power nap and, wheeled right out to my car. And I went to the Farmer's Market restaurant from there. Right to that's I want to go to the
Granny Cone Sampler.
So you wanted
to treat yourself.
Absolutely, because you can't eat right for a week. And then you can't eat anything the day before. So, I was ready to go to the Farmer's Market restaurant. And the seafood, if it had been a little later in the day, I would have probably gone to the seafood restaurant because, they give you all, I felt like eating.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they give you a lot of food there.
And either choice is great. You can't go wrong with either one. So Kemp and them will fix you up with some wonderful Calabash-style seafood.
Yes, indeed.
Those homemade biscuits at the State Farmers Market restaurant. Just depends on what you're in the mood for. You just have to come more often so you can enjoy both. You know?
That's right. And the seafood restaurant doesn't open up until 11. So.
Yes. That's right. 11 to 6 every day, and Friday and Saturday, they're up until 7 p.m.
So I had the colonoscopy about 7:30, and so, but you know, I got to the farmer's market, and then I went home, and I was ready to call it a day after that. So
I'm sure.
Yeah. So it's get your colonoscopy, and then treat yourself to a meal at the farmer's market. And get what did you get?
I got the granny cone sampler after my last colonoscopy.
Rufus, have you ever had the?
It's on a pure platter. It's not a plate. It's
got
platter.
Everything.
Everything they cook for breakfast, I believe, is on it.
Rufus is more of an aristocrat. What is it you get, Rufus, out there? Besides your iced coffee and what?
Well, at camps, I get.
Oh,
I'm orchard.
Yeah, okay. We got to go. We'll be at the farmer's market next week. Thank you, Ms. Monica.
Sounds
Thank
good.
Thank you, Gerald.
Hey, watermelon Day is Thursday.
Watermelon Day is Thursday. Yes, thank you.
Largest watermelon contest. CBS.